of the 7 years of great tribulation to the second half of those 7 years. During the first 3.5 years, which includes the already mentioned trumpet judgments we talked about, God's two witnesses now are mentioned, and they're going to be proclaiming God's word in the world. In addition, the Gentiles are going to overrun Jerusalem, as it says, but the temple in Jerusalem will be protected by God. The Gentiles, which will be allowed to trample the holy city of God for 42 months, they will not be allowed to trample the holy things in the temple. Having no regard for God, for his followers, or for anything associated with him, the unbelieving Gentiles defile everything. And during the first 42 months of Daniel's 7 years, they will desecrate everything and anything they deem associated with God. After this first 42 months, Satan will be given a free reign on earth for another 42 months. And so we're dividing up the 7 years into two halves. The first half will be the time of God's judgment on earth, with the judgment of the first six trumpets ending with the two witnesses. But the sixth trumpet judgment will continue into the second half by turning the world over to Satan and the beast without restraint. That is an important thing to keep in mind when we think about the sixth trumpet judgment. During the second half of the seven-year tribulation, Satan will not be restrained from ruling the earth as he wishes. He's going to desecrate the holy things in the temple, and he'll be allowed to overcome the saints and kill them. The slaughter begins with God's two witnesses being killed, which up to that time are invincible. They are indestructible. The measuring of the temple there, and as Revelation chapter 11 starts out, indicates the temple will be protected by God during the first half of the tribulation years. The sacrifices and the oblations will be conducted by some of the 144,000 Jews, most likely the priests from the tribe of Levi. After the first 3.5 years of judgment, the beast will rise to power, kill God's two witnesses, desecrate the temple, and establish his kingdom for the second 3.5 years. The sixth trumpet judgment includes three judgments. The first one being the 200 million horsemen, which is mentioned, which starts the clock ticking for 1 year, 1 month, 1 day, 1 hour later, after that first day, after that sixth trumpet blows. At that time, the 200 million horsemen will be released and kill a third of the population. Also, there is the beginning of the witnesses, the two witnesses on earth. They start their ministry, which will last for the 3.5 years or the first 42 months. And then it ends up with the reign of Satan for the second half of the 7 years of tribulation. This judgment begins on the first day of the 7 years of great tribulation and ends on the last day. So the sixth trumpet begins and ends with the 7 years of tribulation. Immediately after the last day of Satan's reign on earth, the seventh trumpet will sound, and the final judgment day will take place. Babylon will be destroyed in 1 hour. The beast and the false prophet will be cast into the lake of fire, and Satan will be bound for 1,000 years as Christ establishes his kingdom, referred to as the millennial reign. The first 3.5 years are said to be years of great tribulation because of God's judgments. In the second 3.5 years, God turns the earth over to Satan. Turning the world over to Satan without restraints is the third judgment of the sixth trumpet. Revelation chapter 11 not only falls in the middle of the book of Revelation of 22 chapters, now we're in chapter 11, but it also describes the middle of the 7 years of tribulation. When the beast rises and kills the two witnesses. The chapter contains information that is very critical and to understanding the timeline of events during the 7 years. Revelation 11, verses 1 through 2, shows that the Gentiles will overrun the city of Jerusalem, but not the temple. This Gentile control must be during the first 3.5 years because Satan desecrates the temple during his time on earth, beginning with the rise in the middle of the 7 years. The temple at that time will no longer be useful to the glory of God. It will only be useful during the first half of the 7 years of tribulation when the sacrifices and oblations are going on. During the first 3.5 years, the 144,000 Jews will be protected from harm and will conduct their ministry in Jerusalem without persecution by Satan. Because Satan is still in heaven, warring against Michael and the archangels, and the beast has not appeared yet. Also, the two witnesses of God conduct their ministries as part of the sixth trumpet judgment. The temple, the 144,000, and the two witnesses will be protected, and the ritual of sacrifices will be protected by God during the first 3.5 years. As for the two witnesses, in order to fulfill their 42 months of ministry, the first 3.5 years, they must do so before the beast rules. And the reason for that is they cannot conduct their ministries at the same time the beast rules on earth. And this means that the two witnesses must conduct their ministry during the first half of the 7 years of great tribulation so the beast can rule during the second half. And since the two witnesses are a part of the sixth trumpet judgment, they must begin their 42 ministry on day one of the 7 year tribulation. And that requires that the sixth trumpet sound on day one of the 7 years of tribulation. And if the sixth trumpet blows on day one, that means that the first five trumpets must be blown on day one as well. So that's when all six trumpets are blown at the beginning, and then the seventh trumpet blows at the end. They're bookends. According to Revelation chapter 11, verse 14, the sixth trumpet continues to the last day of the 7 years, after which quickly the seventh trumpet will sound. The seventh trumpet is the last judgment at the end of the 7 years of great tribulation. In order for the seventh trumpet to sound quickly after the sixth trumpet, the sixth trumpet must last until the end of the 7 years. And so, the sixth trumpet judgment begins on the first day of the 7 years of tribulation and ends on the last. In other words, the seventh trumpet sounds the day immediately after the 7 years come to an end. And no doubt, not a second to spare after the last day. Satan's time will come to a swift and decisive end. So let's look at some of these verses in Revelation chapter 11 to learn more about it in detail. Revelation chapter 11 begins with an angel telling John to measure the temple of God. Revelation 11, 1 and 2 say, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it's given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. The reed that is given to John was like a stiff ruler that's useful for measurement. But there's no indication of how long that reed is. It's just a unit of measurement. And though John was told to measure the temple, there's no mention of the temple's dimensions. The omission of this information points to the importance of the things being measured rather than what their actual measurements were. John was instructed to measure the temple of God, the altar, and the worshipers inside the temple to the exclusion of the outer court outside the temple. So we can ask, what is this temple? Why is the outer court not measured? The temple John was told to measure is the temple that will be rebuilt in Jerusalem. It's the holy sanctuary of God. By the time John wrote this letter in after AD 70, there's no temple left in Jerusalem to measure. So John's vision is about measuring the temple, the altar, and the worshipers that will be in Jerusalem in the future. The temple of God will be rebuilt in Jerusalem at some point. The sacrifices and oblations will be offered during the first 42 months of the 7 years of tribulation. After the first 42 months, the temple will be desecrated and the sacrifices will end when the beast rises. Jesus referred to the rise of the beast in Matthew 24, verse 15, saying, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand." Daniel chapter 12, verse 10 says this, "Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days." The wise understand what's happening during the time of desolation. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, in the middle of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." The beast will rise in the middle of the 7 years of tribulation, kill the two witnesses of God, and desecrate the temple. And it's at this point God ends the sacrifices in Jerusalem. The wise will understand that evil is prevailing and desecrating everything that's holy. This will continue for 3.5 years during the second half of the 7 years of great tribulation. The act of measuring the temple and what was inside indicates the attention and protection God gives to his work and his people. Being in the temple is associated with being in the presence of and in fellowship with God. Being outside of the temple represents being outside of fellowship with God. This is the state of being lost. And this is the meaning associated with the Gentile population in Revelation. The temple will be reserved for those in fellowship with God. During the first 3.5 years of tribulation, the saints of God will be protected from his wrath, and the temple will be protected from the Gentile overrun. Satan and his crowd will be restrained from desecrating the holy things of God, namely the temple of those who worship him. But outside the temple, the world as represented by the outer court, including the city of Jerusalem, will be overrun by the Gentiles and filled with their abominations. The temple will be protected for the first half of the 7 years of great tribulation. Then it will be desecrated by the rise of the beast. During the first 42 months of the 7 years of great tribulation, Satan will continue to be restrained from desecrating the temple. During the second half of the 7 years of tribulation, Satan will be unrestrained. He will rule as he pleases with his chosen beast. And during this time, everyone will see the unrestrained blasphemy of a kingdom under Satan. Some will prefer it and accept the mark of the beast. Others will turn to God. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 says that Christ will stop the sacrifices and oblations when the beast rises to power for the overspreading of abominations. At this time, God will turn the world over to Satan. The sacrifices will stop, the ministry of the two witnesses will end, and the believing Jews will go into hiding for the remainder of the 42 months left in the 7 years of tribulation. Revelation chapter 11, verse 3 says that the two witnesses of God will be ministering on earth for 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years in prophetic time. It says, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth." Interestingly, 3.5 years is also the amount of time Christ spent on earth during his ministry. The two witnesses are identified in Revelation chapter 4 as the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. In Zechariah chapter 4, verses 11 through 14, the prophet writes, "Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth." Well, according to Zechariah, now we know who these two are. Who are these two witnesses? Well, they're not named. What we know about them is they are the anointed ones of God through whom the Spirit does many great works to judge the earth. That's who they are. Do these two olive trees have names? It's not revealed, not at this point. The lack of identity shows us that their job and their responsibility to God is more important than their identity. What we're expected to know about them is that they stand before God and serve Him with great authority and power for the first half of the 7 years of tribulation. The two witnesses will proclaim the Word of God, explain what's happening, protect the temple of God, judge the unrepentant on earth with devastating miracles like a 3.5 year drought, turning water to blood, and causing pestilence. They also have power to kill their enemies. These two guys are indestructible. No one can stop them. Revelation 11, verses 5 and 6 say, "And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed." These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. In other words, these two witnesses will destroy anyone who tries to harm them simply by saying the words. Their words will determine the judgment. Never has God ever sent prophets to judge the earth as these two witnesses. The judgments of drought, death, turning water to blood, and plagues are in addition to the trumpet judgments already described. For 3.5 years, people on earth will be judged by God's two witnesses on top of the first six trumpet judgments that were blown on day one. Now, this is absolutely catastrophic to the nth degree. No such destruction or catastrophe has ever been written, recorded, or experienced on earth. This is a one-time event. Their judgments will prolong the grief, the misery, and the devastation of day one. But this prolonged judgment reminds us that it's an opportunity to repent and to turn to God. People who are suffering are still breathing, still alive, and still have opportunity to confess their sin and cry out for mercy. This is devastating power and judgment that they're experiencing. And these two witnesses are untouchable and unstoppable, and people just can't bring an end to their misery as long as these two guys are running around. These two witnesses will be abhorred by their enemies. They'll be hated to the fullest extent. They'll be blamed for the misery and death that the entire world suffers. They'll be resented with a vengeful passion and curse for the horrible conditions inflicted on earth. The indestructible, unstoppable judgments of the two witnesses cannot be during the time of the beast's reign for 42 months. Otherwise, the beast would be suffering too. The drought and judgments would prevent the beast from rebuilding the world's socio-political and economic systems, which by the end of the 7 years are thriving by the time the seventh trumpet sounds. By the end of the 7 years of great tribulation, according to Revelation 18 and 19, Mystery Babylon will be doing very well economically, thriving, and the merchants of the world will be greatly enriched. The two witnesses of God prevent the wicked from flourishing. They can't be happening at the same time. The power given to the two witnesses prevents them from being destroyed until they complete their 42 months or their 3.5 years of ministry on earth. If the beast and the two witnesses existed at the same time, the beast would necessarily appear powerless against them. This wouldn't be consistent with the description of power and authority enjoyed by the beast to overcome God's people. For example, Revelation 13:7 says of the beast, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." If the beast were existing at the same time as the two witnesses, he would look defeated again and again and again. In fact, trying to kill the two witnesses would end in his own demise. That's not possible. During the last 3.5 years of great tribulation, the beast will be an indestructible, unstoppable conqueror. Revelation 13:4 reveals that the people on earth worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" In other words, the power and authority of the beast, as people are expressing here, he is invincible. No one can stand against him. Well, obviously, the two witnesses are not there. If both the beast and the two witnesses are unstoppable and indestructible for 3.5 years, their respective times on earth must be at different times. Revelation 11, verse 7 says of the two witnesses, "And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them." Killing the two witnesses of God would be possible only because the beast is given power to overcome them, and that only after those two witnesses finish 42 months, 3.5 years of ministry. This indicates that the witnesses must be killed at the beginning of the beast's reign on earth. This is a well-timed transition. The two witnesses dominate the first half of the tribulation years with the 144,000 Jewish servants of God and with Israel. The beast will rule and reign during the second half. When the beast ascends out of the bottomless pit to gain power over the world, he'll be able to kill the two witnesses only because their time of ministry is over. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." Christ will confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. The only believers at the beginning of the 7 years of tribulation are the 144,000 Jews and the two witnesses. There are no other believers to make or to confirm a covenant with. They would be the many with whom Christ confirms his covenant. Christ will confirm the covenant for 1 week. Now, to confirm the covenant would require that the covenant already exists. The covenant that exists to be confirmed going into the 7 years of tribulation is the New Testament church, the new covenant. This is referred to as a New Testament or covenant between God and the Jews. It's a new covenant because it replaced the old covenant. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 7 and 8 say, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." And in Matthew chapter 23, verses 37 through 39, Jesus declared the end of the Old Testament, or covenant, with Israel, saying, "O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Up until this time, Jesus, during his ministry on earth, always said, "This is my house, and my house shall be called the house of prayer." But notice here at the end of his ministry in Matthew chapter 23, he says, "Your house is left unto you desolate," desolate of his presence. And it's the covenant that And the New Testament church, the new covenant, is a best fit for the description of being confirmed with Israel, who are exclusively the subject of Daniel's prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Daniel 9, 24 through 7 refers to the last 70 weeks determined upon Israel. Daniel makes this context very clear in verse 24, saying, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Referring to confirming the covenant refers to confirming a covenant between God and Israel, which includes everybody, just as the church started out 100% Jewish, but the doors were open to the Gentiles as well. So this is not a covenant of exclusion, but it's a covenant between God and Israel to minister to all the families on earth. The New Testament church covenant with Israel needs to be confirmed because currently the church is predominantly Gentile, and the Gentiles are preeminent. They're the main teachers. Gentiles are so prevalent in churches that few people think of the church as a Jewish institution. They can't even believe that it's a Jewish institution. But the early church began with only Jews. Gentiles were grafted into the church after Peter and Paul were sent to the Gentiles. We're not talking about the family of God here. This is the church of God. The church of God is made up of baptized believers who are in the family of God. As church members, they're in a covenant with God, as was Israel under the old covenant. God's will for all people is that they be saved into his family by being born again, believing in him, and then be added to his church covenant by being baptized. Confirming the new covenant between Christ and the 144,000 Jews at the beginning of the 7 years of tribulation will bring the world's attention back to Israel, the God of Israel, and the promise to Israel. Up until the time of the confirming of this covenant, the church is predominantly Gentile. The Apostle Paul refers to this as the time when God waits for the fullness of the Gentiles. That's found in Romans chapter 11, verse 25. This means that the church will be predominantly Gentile until it's time to initiate the 7 years of tribulation. And as I mentioned, most people don't think of the church as a Jewish institution, even though it began with only Jews. It's the new covenant between God and the Jews, and after the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled, the covenant will be confirmed with the Jews. Confirming this covenant will mark the end of the blindness in part that has happened to Israel, which refers to their loss of preeminence in the New Testament church as teachers of God's word. That's mentioned in Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Daniel's final week for Israel begins with the rise of the Jewish witness to the world in and through the New Testament church. Many dismiss the church's presence during the 7 years of tribulation because it's not mentioned by name after Revelation 3. This is an argument by omission. And this argument by omission is based on the presumption that Jewish Christians will not be church members. However, in Revelation 7:3, the four angels holding back the judgment of God were told not to hurt the earth until we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. Well, that's the 144,000. This shows that the 144,000 Jews must already be serving God prior to the judgment of God that will begin with the sounding of the first trump. If these 144,000 Jews are already servants of God, they don't need to be converted, trained, and prepared for ministry on day one. They're already serving in God's house of witness in the New Covenant Church today. If the rapture were to occur today, they would already be saved, trained, and serving God in His churches around the world. The rise of the beast brings an end to the first half of the 7 year tribulation and ushers in the second half. The beast will rise to power, kill the two witnesses, desecrate the temple of God, and claim to be the supreme ruler of the earth. Up until this time, Satan and the beast were prevented from harming the two witnesses and from desecrating the temple. That's what we saw in the first two verses of Revelation chapter 11. Any attempt by Satan or the beast to deceive humanity or to desecrate the temple during the first 42 months of the tribulation years would have been foiled by the two witnesses and the 144,000 Jewish servants. They will not allow the beast or Satan to deceive the people on earth during that first 3.5 years. The two witnesses of God are indestructible for the first 42 months. The beast will kill them at the only time he can, and that's at the end of their 42-month ministry. This will be the beast's crowning moment to establish his authority and power on earth. The unbelievers will worship the beast. The resurrection and subsequent absence of the two witnesses will convince people that God of heaven, of Israel, and of his followers has been defeated. They'll ask, who can make war with the beast, as indicated by Revelation 13:7. The beast will appear to have saved the world from the judgments of God. The beast will promise a new world order of prosperity and good times. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 says, the overspreading of abominations will occur during the middle of the tribulation years. Revelation 11:7 says, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. This is all at that critical juncture, that middle portion of the 7 years of tribulation. The beast will rise to power and declare himself greater than the God of Israel. He will demonstrate his power by killing the two indestructible witnesses who up to that point are absolutely unstoppable. Nobody can stop them. But the beast will rise up and stop them. And that will show he is God. Then he'll enter into the Jewish temple of God and declare that he is greater than all gods. He will claim to be supreme over all other powers and deserving worship. And the people of the world will ask, who is like unto the beast and who is able to make war with him? As Revelation 13:4 says. In the middle of the 7 years, with the rise of the beast and the Gentile overrun, the Messiah will cause the sacrifices to cease, and the holy city will be desolate of his presence until the consummation, which will be the annihilation of the beast, the false prophet, and the Gentiles. According to Revelation 11:7, when the beast kills the two witnesses, he does so in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, which also our Lord was crucified. He leaves the bodies in the street for public viewing and to make a political statement. People are so happy about these two hated tormentors being killed that they start celebrating and sending gifts to each other. They're beside themselves with happiness and joy. Folks were so terrified and so miserable because of these two witnesses, these two prophets, combined with the chaos and widespread death of humanity resulting from the first six trumpets, that at the death of the two witnesses, the people release all their pent-up frustrations and fears. They're exuberant about their deliverance from the judgment of these two onerous witnesses. But much to their dismay, their celebration is short-lived. Revelation chapter 11 says, after 3.5 days of lying dead in the street, the two witnesses will be resurrected. The witnesses will stand on their feet and will be taken upward to heaven in a cloud at the sound of a voice from heaven calling to them. The death and resurrection of the two witnesses is a testimony of the 3 days that Christ was in the grave before he was resurrected. What a dramatic way to preach the gospel to the world. And then they'll be taken into heaven. You can only imagine the horror that must have gripped the Gentiles of the world as they watched or learned of the resurrection of their tormentors. Oh no, they're back. These were formidable, indestructible foes. Surely repentance would be the rational thing to consider at this point by any rational person. With the departure of the two witnesses into heaven, Revelation 11:13 says, and the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. Is this remnant referred to the survivors of the devastating earthquake? This passage is quite a contrast with all the others in Revelation, describing how, despite the judgment of God, men refused to repent, like Revelation chapter 6, verse 16, or chapter 9, verse 20, or chapter 16, verse 9 and 11. By the time the beast rises, the world is desperate for relief from God's judgments. It's in this context that the beast ascends to power in their testimony of Jesus Christ. As far as those against sin, given himself credibility for all the claims he makes. The misery on earth for the first 3.5 years of tribulation due to the six trumpets and the two witnesses will all be blamed on God. The killing of the two prophets and the declaration of war on Israel will appear to be fully justified in order to save the world. It will be a way for the beast to rise up and establish himself as the savior of the world, who delivers man from the misery inflicted on them by the God of Israel. That's described in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. The first six trumpet judgments, combined with the judgments of the two witnesses, leave the world in utter chaos during the first 3.5 years. A third of the trees are burned up with all the grass. A third of the ocean waters are turned to blood, resulting in death of a third of the sea life and the destruction of a third of the ships in the sea. And a third of the fresh waters become toxic and kill many men. A third of the natural light is diminished from sun and stars. The population of of mankind has endured 5 months of excruciating demoniac inflicted stings. A 1 year, 1 month, 1 day, and 1 hour later delay of judgment, a third of the human population is wiped out, killed by 200 million horsemen. And the two witnesses judge the earth freely at will with more misery and power to turn water into blood, release plagues on earth, call fire down from heaven on their enemies, and with a global drought that lasts 42 months. Death and destruction is worldwide. The world is in chaos like never before or ever will be. Life concerns are reduced to mere survival. The misery index for humanity is off the charts. The infrastructure of the world will remain intact for the most part, but the population size will be drastically reduced. The loss of intellectual know-how will diminish commerce, security, and technology. The catastrophic experience and utter desperation during this time will be unmatched. The beast's rise to power gives him bragging rights and credibility for his claim to be the world's God and Savior. He'll kill the two witnesses that represent all of the misery, death, and chaos in the world. When the witnesses are raised and taken away from the earth and the beast overpowers the believers, he will establish his power to rule the world. In addition, Revelation 13, chapter 17, and chapter 18 indicate that during the beast's 3.5 years of tenure on earth, he will establish social and economic control and order. By the end of his reign on earth, Babylon will be the world capital of commerce, vice, and idolatry. People will ask how anyone could war against the beast. They're going to worship the beast and the dragon who empowers him. He will be their savior from world chaos and from their nightmare experience under God's judgment. With fulfillment of the beast's 42-month reign on earth, the time of the sixth trumpet will be over. The seventh trumpet will sound and Christ will claim his kingdom. Revelation 11, verse 15 says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.'" It's at this point that Christ conquers and rules over creation as one kingdom, his kingdom. The seventh trumpet will sound immediately, quickly, it says, after the period of the sixth trumpet. Revelation 11, 14 says, "The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly." The end has come. Evil will and must be eliminated. The seventh trumpet is the last trumpet and signals the end of the earth as we know it. A new epoch on earth will begin called the millennial reign. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 says, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever, and never will the kingdom ever be lost." You see, this is the beginning of Christ ruling forever into eternity. In response to the sounding of the last trumpet, the 24 elders, which sit before God, fall upon their faces and worship God, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned," as described in Revelation 11, verses 16 and 17. In contrast, the world will not be praising God. They will hate him. Revelation 11, verse 18 says, "And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth." Revelation 11, 19 refers to the ark of God's testament at this time, saying, "And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and a great hail. The Ark of the Covenant refers to the promise of God to establish His kingdom, to give His kingdom to all those chosen by Him according to His will, which is to all those who believe in Him. Salvation is by grace. Only God could fulfill the law to make life possible for those who come to God on His terms. With the sound of the seventh trumpet, God ends evil and establishes righteousness. As Daniel said in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, "Even until the consummation and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." All those who lack a relationship with Jesus Christ at that time will experience the judgment of God. The last week of Daniel's vision will come to a close. In Revelation chapter 10, verses 6 and 7, the angel describes the end, saying, "And swear by Him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets." At the sound of the seventh trumpet, judgment will be poured out on the earth in one day, according to Revelation chapter 18, verse 8. It will be swift, it will be thorough, and everlasting. This is God's promise.